All right, good morning. Welcome this morning. It's good to be with you. My name is Bob Keith. I work for the district office, and I bring greetings on behalf of the team there. Man, we've been praying for your church and praying for your pastoral search, and we're just unbelievably excited that this is all coming together, and we can't wait. When they reached out and contacted me, they said, would you be a part of speaking in between when Bob leaves and when Prince gets here? And I said, sure. And would you talk about transition? And I said, absolutely. I would love to talk about that. It's been something that over 32 years in ministry, I've seen happen in lots of places. And there's lots of things that I would love to share with the congregation. Well, I started to pray about it, and God brought me to some places. And so this morning, I just consider it an amazing privilege. So my title slide says follow. That's our role, right, in transition, following God and following the leaders that he brings into place. And so I wanted to just talk with you a little bit about that this morning. Sound good? So here's my mental image of transition. Who's been to the circus? This is interactive. You can put your hand up. So I love the trapeze guys, the guys that swing back and forth and then they flip in the air. And it's always that heart-pounding moment when they're swinging back and forth and then they let go of one thing and they kind of somersault in the air and the arms are outstretched and they grab on. And it's a great image. We went through transition about a year ago in our home where we moved from being Alberta residents for 32 years, being a lead pastor, to taking on a new role and moving to a new province. And I can tell you from personal experience, here's what I know about transition. Change and transition can be difficult. No matter how much it's a good thing, it can be a difficult thing. Because it always involves steps of faith, right? From selling a house and buying a house to steps of this is how it was and now this is how it is. And somebody said this morning when I was talking to them, it's bittersweet. It was so great to know that God's bringing us into a new season and to say goodbye to Bob, but we're sad that there's only you here this morning. I'm the lesser Bob, and I get it. But it involves times of discernment, of saying, God, where are you in this? And how's this going to look? And am I open to some change? And change and transition are often the enemy of what we consider stability and comfort. It usually moves us out of our comfort zone. And so I want to give you some perspective in this season. We're going to look at some changes in Scripture and some transitions, and we're going to have a real-life example of something going on. But let me talk about this, how important perspective is. So let's start with cleaning our glasses, as it were. I don't know if any of the rest of you have glasses, but I know when they get a certain amount of dirty, my world is a little foggy. And so we start with a reflection on God's work. If you don't have a journal where you write down answers to prayer and write down the things that God has done, you can tend to second-guess yourself. And so I encourage you to spend some time in transition reflecting on what God has already done and being intentional about celebration and thanksgiving. Wow, look at what you already accomplished. Secondly, anticipation of God's plan. Man, start dreaming and start letting God awaken in you an excitement for what's going to happen in your neighborhood, in your community, in your ministries, how he's going to use a new voice in bringing forth the word and what's going to happen as together you ask Jesus, what's next? There's this building excitement. Don't forget to write down and claim the promises that God is absolutely faithful. You see, here's something we forget sometimes. That the story of Scripture just over and over and over says he completes his work through time and with various people. And what he begins here, he often brings along gifts and finishes over here. And so it brings us to this realization that there are seasons to the life of a church and to ministry and to neighborhoods and to what's going on in your community. And that in those seasons, there are those that he sets apart for specific seasons. Look at some of the leadership transitions in Scripture, and you can go spend some time here, but we could talk about Moses. If you don't know the story of Moses, it's a great one. Look it up. This guy that goes from being a murderer to being a leader, set apart by God, met God on the mountain, brought the people out of exile, gathered them together, led them across the desert, and then the mantle's passed to Joshua. And we're going to look into that transition. Joshua, who took them into the promised land, many, many battles and defeated 31 kings and 7 nations in establishing what they were doing. You go on in Scripture and you see the transition from David, anointed as a boy before God, who's on the run for his life and becomes a king and leads in such a way. And it says his heart was totally devoted. He was chosen, gifted, passionate, devoted, had vision. And yet God said, blood is on your hand, you can't build the temple. And the transition to King Solomon and the building of the temple and all that went on there. He took David's preparation of all the goods and the vision of what should be and completed it. Elijah, the man of the hour, in a time when there was no one else and he felt so alone, who stood and confronted the prophets of Baal. Elijah, who saw the dead come to life and who was known for the miracles, passing on the mantle to God's chosen Elisha, who was empowered in completely different mighty ways. What I want you to see is, though, in our humanness, transition can be a bit unsettling. Scripture is full of examples where God started here, used here, and built here. What we learn from Scripture is that leadership is always intended to transfer. It's never intended to stay with one person. From the beginning, the story of Scripture is that you're to raise up and release leaders. I was talking to somebody in our neighborhood, just ran into them they were telling me a bit of their story. And I said, well, what made you move from your farm into Warman? And he looked at me and he said, my kids were growing and they were getting their own family. And he said, I realized that if I didn't physically get out of there, I would never pass over the reins in an effective way. And I was like, wow, what a great picture to know that what you were building and what you're passing over, that you needed to move to a different location, still involved, and that there were seasons for different roles. Come with me to Numbers chapter 8. This is a passage that I kind of get a kick out of, but Numbers chapter 8, the Lord's giving Moses some instruction. He's setting up what's going to happen as the people of God begin to gather and worship him. And he says, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, this applies to the Levites. From 25 years old and upward, they shall come to do duty in the service of the tent of meeting. And from the age of 50 years, they shall withdraw from the duty of the service and serve no more. They minister to their brothers in the tent of meeting by keeping guard, but they shall do no service. Thus shall you do to the Levites in assigning their duties. What I want you to see out of this, we could tear it all apart and talk about the structure, but what I really want you to get is he's saying, hey, as young Levites who are going to manage the relationship with God and the people grow, the older are to surrender leadership. There will be a passing of the torch. The age that he gives isn't the focus, but what is the raising and releasing of leaders. Anybody else get Reels on their phone? Come on, nobody? I saw some of races and running, and I realized I was laughing because what they focused on was the baton pass. And they'd be running, and how many times the race was lost or the victory was lost at the passing of the baton. The handing from one to the next. That if that wasn't executed well, It didn't matter how fast and how faithful the one running was, or how fast and how faithful the one going to the next stage or the next season was. The past needed to be executed. And this verse says, when they pass it off, the next thing they're to do is to guard. It's to serve or to keep watch over whatever is held in trust. It's to support. It's just a shifting of roles. It's the passing of the baton. Transition is meant to move us from what is to beyond. Anybody like me get pretty comfortable with the status quo? I mean, there's things that we form memories to. We have great... I'll use an example. Some of the hymns, when they come on, take me right back to my childhood, or right back to significant moments with God. And they trigger a memory in me. And I'm like, oh, we should sing more of those. And then I stop and think about it. Am I ever glad God gave me that memory? But you know what? I can get comfortable with that. I can just speak the words. I can stop singing from my heart the truth expressed towards God. I'm like, Bob, think about it for a minute. Am I ever glad that exists, but am I ever glad that I can't get comfortable with the status quo? I can't stop thinking about my praise. I can't stop thinking about what I'm proclaiming. Because we desire what we know and what we enjoy. I'm going to take you to when Moses passes and Joshua's installed. We're going to read a little bit of scripture together. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 8 to 12. And the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid on his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. And there's not arisen a prophet in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, none like him for all the signs and wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all of his servants and to all of his land. And for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of Israel. I want you to see a couple of things in this. There was a celebration of what God had done through a faithful leader, and an acknowledgement that there's never been one like this before or since. And celebrations are good things. And then it says that they grieved well, that they set a time, that for 30 days they mourned the loss of what was, right? But then don't miss this. As they knew the next leader was appointed and prayed for and full of the Spirit, look at the embrace. Full of the spirit of wisdom, they followed. They followed. Here's what it says in Joshua chapter 1, verses 16 to 18. They answered Joshua, "All that you have commanded us to do, and wherever you have sent us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous." Now, I'm not saying that the circumstances are completely applicable and we're going to talk about putting people to death. But we do have a lot of instruction in the New Testament about being careful around rebellion. And I'm not saying that we have dictators. In fact, we have men full of the Spirit who seek the Lord, just like the New Testament, and decide what's right. What I don't want you to miss is the declaration. As you are full of the Spirit of God, and as you understand where God is taking us, we're declaring our intent to follow. Now, that declaration, I called it this in my point, take care to do the right things. And then I put a note, especially when current circumstances are confusing or not what you imagined. Sometimes when we start dreaming about the future, when I came into this role that I'm in, I imagined all the cool things I get to do and didn't imagine perhaps how some of the realities were. It's okay. But we moved and we came to a place where I got busy and we got news within a month or two that in our lives there was going to be a significant health crisis and my wife was going to need some open heart surgery. And I'm like, God, why would you take me away from family, support, a church that I loved, into a new role, into a new community, into a new place? We didn't even really know the neighbors that well yet. And then do that. Like, you start to question in the circumstances the yes that you said in the moment. So today, I have this great opportunity. I'm the missions mobilizer from the district. I get to stay connected to our international workers all across Canada and them serving around the world. I just spent time in Calgary with a bunch of them, and I met a great young couple who are part of our international worker team. In the Alliance, we all together through Global Advance support work globally, and there's some couple of young couples that are headed out, and I heard their story, and I said, hey, would I be able to tell your story a little bit and ask for some prayer for you guys? Because you said yes to Jesus, and things are a little bit sideways. And so I want you to put your hands together and welcome Joel Hurst to the stage. Joel? Joel and Shaylin.
Yeah, so we have three kids, Shaylin and I. Una's at the bottom there. She is 7. Oh, I hope I get this all right. And then we have Callum, who's in the yellow beanie and or toque. Am I American or Canadian? And he is 10. And then Liam, our oldest, is 12.
Okay, so you've served in Mexico and in Germany, and you've said yes to a team being sent into Spain. Can you tell me just a little bit about where you're going and who you're called to serve right now?
Yeah, so the vision is church planting with the Moroccan people, predominantly Muslim, and yeah, in the Madrid area, there's a lot of Moroccans, so that's the vision.
So can we send gospel workers to Morocco right now?
I mean, technically you could, but it's very difficult and you can't go in as missionaries.
So you can't go, it's not open to the gospel, it's a closed Muslim nation,
yes.
Right? And so many of them are immigrants to Spain across the way, and there isn't a functioning gospel witness among them at the moment, and so we've set aside a team of people to go and take the gospel to a difficult place.
Yeah, and it's really cool. The big picture is we reach Moroccans in Madrid, and then they go back to Morocco, which is just below Spain, and they share the good news, so yeah.
How exciting is that? So I know some of your teammates, I know all of them actually. Kilbrays are from this district, they're going with you, and Dan, the Van Essence are gonna be there. Where's all your stuff right now? Like, all your earthly goods?
Well, 99% of our earthly belongings are currently in Germany. Hopefully next week they will actually be in Madrid.
Okay, and how come you're not in Spain?
Well, that's a good question. we're all asking why. Basically, they don't like the visa situation. They don't want two adults going in on religious visas, but we're just being blocked. We don't know exactly why, because the law says technically we should be able to do this, but yeah, we're having a visa blockage and we're trying to figure it out.
So right now, the whole team is on hold in Canada. When were you supposed to be gone? Like, you've been kind of in limbo for a while.
I think our original plan was the 1st of June, like, yeah, the beginning of June.
Okay, so beginning of June, and now you're waiting. Tell me a little bit about waiting. What does it look like to be in Canada knowing, like, next week you could get on a plane? You don't have your stuff, you've got your kids. Where are you living?
Yeah, well, right now we're in Regina with Shay's parents in their basement. It's a nice basement suite, but it's a basement suite. There's one bedroom. But yeah, like you were saying, transition is difficult. And in this period of, for us, waiting, I mean, you can do a lot of thinking, right? Like, am I doing the right thing? Are we doing the right thing? Is this what really God is telling us to do? And for me, three things God has been speaking to me. I mean, the first one is surrendering, right? You're submitting to God. You're saying, okay, God, you can have my life. What? How do you want me to use? How do you want to use me in the kingdom? And the next one would be listening, because there's so many voices going on, and it can, like, Regina's, it's comfortable enough, right? Like, there's English spoken. I understand the culture pretty well. So you can get comfortable and be like, well, do we have to leave? Should we be going somewhere else? And then lastly, walking in obedience. And that comes from listening to God. What do you want me to do? And then you walk in obedience of what he's asking you to do.
That's awesome, Joel. So in the Greater Alliance family, you know, you're coming up to making decisions about school and all of that, but every day we're walking by faith saying, and so we're putting the call out there for prayer, yeah? And so as we come today, here's what I'm gonna ask for. This week, some of that team is in Toronto at the office. And if some of you would say, God, I could do that, I could pray, would you agree to pray daily this week, just for 7 days, about the visa situation? And about this team being released to go where God's calling them and where they're prepared to go and where they're committed to go. Secondly, Paul says this. He says, pray that there might be a place for the gospel, that the doors might open. We already know that there's Muslim-believing Moroccans who have moved to a place where freedom of religion exists that are open to a conversation about Jesus. We know that he is at work in our world. Would you pray for the hearts of those to be open as they go and plant churches? And then thirdly, if you want to be a part of newsletter updates and just being able to keep track of the story and encouragement, Joel will be out there, and there's a QR code to their newsletter. And I just wanted you to actually see a face, and I wanted to take time in the service to just stand up and pray. So would you just stand with me? We're going to... And if God's moving in your heart, like, hey, I could be a part of the prayer for this, and I could be a part of what God's doing, would you just put your hand out? We're just going to pray for Joel. Father in heaven, for the Spain team, for Joel and Shay and the kids, you are teaching them lessons in the waiting. You're teaching them all about things. And we're so excited for young couples who say yes to you, who hear your voice, who commit to follow, and Lord, in the spite of circumstances, bring along that encouragement each day. Bring along that assurance. Would your word open to their hearts? But Father, we ask that you would unblock the system and that visas would be granted and quickly they could be in that new ministry in that place. Secondly, Father, would you sustain them? And would you raise up amongst us those who would pray and be excited about this church being planted and this witness going into this dark place? And would you use it in a way we couldn't even imagine? And finally, Father, would your blessing rest upon them? Would you supply all of their needs according to your riches? And all God's people said, amen. Thank you, Joel. Thanks for coming. All right. So, in the circumstances that don't make sense, decide ahead of time to follow. I want to read out of Joshua 1:1-9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, rise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving them to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. just as I had promised Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and courageous, and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. As we talk about this transition, I love how God just repeats over and over and over, because we as humans are slow. A few pillars. If you spend some time in that passage, here's some pillars that are going to come out. God is already moving. God says, I have already decided. I am already at work. Ephesians 2:10 says he invites us to participate with him in works he's already doing, that he's already prepared. Second, see the language. I am doing this. Second, don't forget, God is promising. He's promising his protection. He's promising his presence. He's promising a victory ultimately, and yet there will be many, many times their obedience and their courageous stepping forward are going to be important in the story. And God is clear. Don't turn to the left or the right. You are a people on mission, and I am a God delivering. Take care to do this the right way. No shortcuts. No, I got it from here. Follow. Let's ask the big question. Do you remember it? Nobody does. Great. I've preached here like 4 times and nobody remembers it. I always ask this question near the end of a sermon, and it's so what? I say, let's ask the big question, because, I mean, it's been some advice and a good... Let's ask the big question. Prince, you have some work to do. One more time. Let's ask the big question. Yeah, so what? What do we leave here with today? Here's my challenge to you, church. Determine now, ahead of time, that you're going to follow God's choice. Predetermine. There will be different styles, different leadership gifts. You're going to have to really take care with us. Well, that's not how we do it. Or, I liked it when we did it that way. Take care, because God has gifted and inspired and will uniquely use someone different. And determine now that your perspective is going to be adjusted. I mean, I just go back to David and Goliath, and I think that's 1 Samuel 17, not 37, so I got a typo in there. David and Goliath, and when Saul is saying, or the king is saying, yeah, here, take my armor. And he tries to put his armor on that little kid, and the kid's like, I can't even move with this. He goes, forget it. I can't take your armor. It's not made for me. I'm going to take the weapons God's equipped me to use. You see, you can predetermine that choice. Secondly, determine to fill your role. I don't care how amazing a leader is, how many skills they have, what kind of vision they have. If people aren't willing to participate, fill the roles that God's called them to, nothing can happen. Predetermine to follow God's choice. Determine to know your role. If you don't know what your gifts are, find them. If you don't know where to serve, ask the people who will help you. Determine now that you're going to participate and be involved, not sit back and see how it goes. We're in, we're all in. And then finally, pray. Don't miss this in 1 Thessalonians 5, the call that goes out from the leaders, brothers, pray for us. Man, intercede at the throne. Lift them before God. Pray for your leaders. And pray for their protection. Pray for their gifting. Pray for their vision. And pray that the Lord moves in their lives. They need your prayer. Let me pray for you. Father, I am so excited at what you're doing here. I'm excited about the next season and transition. While it can be scary, Lord, is such a cool opportunity. I am filled with anticipation. What's going to happen in the neighborhood? What's going to happen in this place? What's going to happen in the lives of people yet to just come in and discover you here? And so, Father, I pray that you would take this, the leadership lessons, the transition sermons in the next few weeks, and that you would open the eyes of our hearts, that you would speak to us through your Holy Spirit, and that, Lord, your blessing would rest on this place, and that you would empower these people as they embrace the next leader that you have for the season that you've prepared. And all God's people said, amen.